Let's sing this song. Come thou fount of every blessing, tune our hearts, sing thy grace. Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious song, and sung by flaming tongues above. Praise thy mount, I'm fixed upon it, mount of God's redeeming love. Find my greatest treasure, either by thy help I found, and I hope by thy good pleasure, safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the like a feather, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it, seal it for thy courts above. My heart, Lord, take and seal it for thy courts above. You may all take your seat. Now, call our pastor.
Good evening po sa inyo lahat. Good evening. If you have your Bibles with you, kindly turn your Bibles to Exodus 23. We'll be looking at verses 1 to 19. Exodus 23, verse 1 to 19. And if you're already there, kindly stand with me as we read all together this beautiful section of Scripture. Exodus 23, verse 1 to 19. You shall not spread a false report. You shall not join hands with a wicked man to be a malicious witness. You shall not fall in with the many to do evil, nor shall you bear witness in a lawsuit, siding with the many so as to pervert justice. Nor shall you be partial to a poor man in his lawsuit. If he meet your enemy's ox or his donkey going astray, you shall bring it back to him. If you see the donkey of one who hates you lying down under its burden, you shall refrain from leaving him with it. You shall rescue it with him. You shall not pervert the justice due to your poor in his lawsuit. Keep far from a false charge and do not kill the innocent and righteous, for I will not acquit the wicked. And you shall take no bribe, for a bribe blinds the clear-sighted and subverts the cause of those who are in the right. You shall not oppress a sojourner. You know the heart of a sojourner, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. For 6 years you shall sow your land and gather in its field, but the seventh year you shall let it rest and lie fallow, that the poor of your people may eat, and what they leave the beasts of the field may eat. You shall do likewise with your vineyard and with your olive orchard. 6 days you shall do your work, but on the seventh day you shall rest, that your ox and your donkey may have rest, and the son of your servant, woman, and the alien may be refreshed. Pay attention to all that I have said to you, and make no mention of the names of other gods, nor let it be heard on your lips. 3 times in the year you shall keep a feast to me. You shall keep the feast of unleavened bread. As I commanded you, you shall eat unleavened bread for 7 days at the appointed time in the month of Abib, for in it you came out of Egypt. None shall appear before me empty-handed. You shall keep the feast of harvest of the first fruits of your labor, of what you sow in the field. You shall keep the feast of ingathering at the end of the year, when you gather in from the field the fruit of your labor. 3 times in a year shall all your males appear before the Lord God. You shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice with anything leavened, or let the fat of my feast remain until the morning. The best of the first fruits of your ground you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. You shall not boil a young goat in its mother's milk. May the Lord bless the reading of His word. Makapuna po tayo. Let's come to the Lord in prayer and ask Him for help. Loving God, we are humbled by the truth that we are now gathering together. We pray that You would indeed protect and preserve all of us. We pray that You would bless us as we study Your word. We pray for those who are joining us through the live stream, and we pray that even as we are gathered virtually, You would bless all of us together, Lord, by the truth in Your word. We pray nothing less, Lord, than to honor You and to worship You by the study of Your truth. Your word is truth. We ask all of this with much thanksgiving in the mighty name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen and amen. As we were reading that, parang, are we really reading scripture, di ba? Maybe that is what you are thinking about. Again, sabi natin that the most significant event that just happened is the giving of the Ten Commandments, the Ten Words. And what did we learn when we were looking at the Ten Words? We said that they are very broad. And that was done by design. They are broad as to not be treated just as instructions. Hindi lang sila instructions. They are actually categories. Yes, we see each commandment are commandments. Each commandment are imperatives, instructions, rules, laws. Pero sabi natin, they are that broad to make them as categories. And what do we mean by that? They are broad and they are made to be categories para ang implications could be far-reaching. And we did that, di ba? Every word we saw, hindi lang pala yun sinasabi. Yes, on sa unang basa, we see, oh yes, that is what this is talking about. But we saw, no, it's more than that. And then we saw that God told Moses to go up the mountain again, and He has given him more instructions. And what we have seen are not new instructions, but amplifications, practical applications of the 10 words. May I just add, isa sa mga heart po, ang puso ko, as I've been immersed, as I've been studying Exodus, the Old Testament, I have fallen in love with the Old Testament again. One thing that we struggle with when we study the Old Testament is that minsan we have the tendency to skip, read it casually, read it in passing, and not dwell in it. We would say, so what? They seem to be just applications of the 10 words, but to do that is to miss out on the most important thing, I guess, is that yung paano nire-reveal ng Panginoong Diyos ang kanyang character. This is what we see here. God's sweet, tender love and care to His people to the point that He is giving them details of the 10 words. As we start this section, nagpapatuloy pa rin tayo ng sa section na how does it look like to love my neighbor? Look at verse 1. Sabi nga, you shall not spread a false report. Anong papasok unang-una sa inyo, mga iskaisipan? Uy, this is talking about the ninth commandment. Diba? What's the ninth commandment? Thou shall not bear false witness. Right? You shall not spread a false report. So, when we go to Exodus 20:16, looking at the ninth commandment, and as we are now in Exodus 23, oy, eto ang isang example noon. Remember when we were looking at the ninth commandment, we said, it is not just to prevent and preserve your neighbor's person. Huwag mong ipangalandakan, even though it's true, yung mga masamang sasabihin mo, preserve the person and love the person. Because love covers a multitude of sins. You shall not spread a false report. This is talking about slander. And then it goes on. You shall not join hands with a wicked man to be a malicious witness. O binigyan niya ng bagong kulay. This is not just about slander. Yes, it's slander, but it's talking about a court. Because it's talking about witness. Sabi nga, you shall not join hands. What does that mean? To join hands with someone is to what? To agree with him? Diba? To connive with him? It has a picture of you agreeing, you conniving, you are in agreement with this certain man. And how did the Bible describe this man? A wicked man. You shall not spread a false report. How does that look like? You shall not join hands with a wicked man. And a wicked man would do wicked things. And the result of you joining hands with this wicked man is that you would be a malicious witness. Ano ba yung malicious witness? And talking about false report, this is talking about you giving untruthful report. A malicious witness would say anything but the truth. Sabi nga nun sa atin dito as we are looking at this section. You shall not spread a false report. How does that look like? You shall not join hands with a wicked man to be a malicious witness. Verse 2, you shall not fall in with the many to do evil, nor shall you bear witness in a lawsuit siding with the many. Underline the words many. Pareho lang naman yan, di ba? Same word. What is this saying? Do not join hands with someone who's wicked, someone who may be powerful enough to sway you, to convince you to be a malicious witness. You shall not give in to the pressure of the many. Sa panahon ngayon, di ba, madali mangyari yan. Once you have 3, 4, 5, pag mas marami and this group is pressuring you, the tendency is to give in to the pressure. Sabi ng Biblia, as you prevent, as you protect your neighbor, as you are commanded to not spread false witness, as you are commanded to not connive, not agree with a wicked man so that you would be a malicious witness, you also should not give in to the social pressure. How easy it is for us to give in. Diba? Ang dami kasi nito rin. Madalas yan mangyari sa mga kabataan. Right? Pag ayaw mong ganitong gawin natin, pero na-pressure ka, the peer pressure, you would slowly see yourself giving in. The Bible says don't. Why? In the context of spreading false report, you will pervert justice. What does that mean to pervert justice? Pervert means to twist, to bend. That would hurt the truth. Nor shall you be partial to a poor man in his lawsuit. Sabing ganun, wag mag-give in sa isang powerful perhaps, this wicked man who can convince you to join hands with him, nor should you not give in to the pressures of the social, of the many, social pressure, or be partial to a poor man in his lawsuit. We see in this section, amplification of the ninth commandment to not bear false witness. Bear with me. Let's go to verse 4. Babalikan natin itong verse 1 to 3. As we see the commandment, the instructions progress, we see verse 4 to 5. If you meet, you know that word meet, ang sweet nitong salitang ito. If you meet, if you encounter who? If you meet your enemy's ox or his donkey going astray, you shall bring it back to him. If you see the donkey of one who hates you lying down under its burden, you shall refrain from leaving him with it. You shall rescue it with him. When we look at this, ako, to be honest, one of the very first things that I question is this. Why are we reading this? Diba? Ox? Donkey? Why? Many things, but I'd like to share with you some. This proves, first of all, that this is a real instruction given to real people with real struggles. We're not talking about fairy tale here. Diba? Hindi yung parang, teka lang, dapat, we're talking about the kingdom of God here. We're talking about the people of God here. Dapat maayos siya? No. That would happen in the eschaton. That would happen in the eternal kingdom of God. But here on earth, we would have struggles. Because we struggle with real people, with real struggles. We struggle with the reality of sin. That's why it's here. At saka diba parang sabihin nyo, parang odd naman yan sa salita ng Diyos. Pag-usapan tayong ox, donkey, na meet mo, tas kaawit may ari, right? We understand this as parents. Those of you who are parents, those of us who are parents. Diba? You would give instructions to your kids na parang nasabihin ng anak mo, parang naman walang kakwenta-kwenta yan, nay. Nasabihin mo, anak, huwag kang dudukot ng mga ulam sa garapon. This is coming from my own experience. Sinabihan ako ng tatay ko noon. Ba't kaya? Kasi, namamalayan ko na lang, dumudukot ako ng tirang ulam sa garapon. You see, we are dealing with a lot of people here, with many herds, with sin. Thus, we see this is a sweet, very sweet instruction. Sabing ganun, if you meet, pag na-encounter mo, sabihin sa'yo, sino na-meet mo? Yung ox at donkey nung kaaway ko. If you meet your enemy's ox, pansin nyo, verse 4, your enemy's ox. Verse 5, see the donkey of one who hates you. Napansin nyo yung ginawa ng Biblia rito? And I love that. This is talking about one whom you hate, and the one who hates you. Basically, we're talking about your enemy here. And you are commanded, if you meet your enemy's ox, perhaps the one whom you hate, going astray. And this implies that you know this ox. And this implies that you know who this donkey's owner is. And it's going astray. Even though he's your enemy, you shall bring that animal back to him. If you see the donkey of the one who hates you, the one who despises you, lying down and it's under its burden. Ang picture dyan, hindi nagpapahinga. Lying down. Hindi nagpapahinga. Ito, may picture yan na natumba. And it's struggling. It may be crushed. Maaring mabigat yung bit-bit niya and it fell down. And this happens to be one of the animals of those whom you hate. What should you do? Leave that donkey alone? Buti nga sa'yo. Saksakin ko pa yan eh. Ganun ba? O pag nakita mo ba yung ox nung kaaway mo, naliligaw, ililigaw mo ba lalo? No. This is telling us to do what is right. And that is to refrain from leaving him with it. You shall rescue it with him. You see the picture here? Kaaway mo, hayop niya yan, natumba siya, and it's struggling to the point of him or it dying. You should help this animal up. What principle can we see here? If you go to Proverbs 25, verse 21 to 22, listen to the wisdom that we see here. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. for you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. Did you hear the wisdom there? Hindi nakalagay dyan, and your enemy will reward you. No, the Lord will reward you for doing what is right. And who are we talking about here? Anyways, we are talking about the covenant people of God. Sabi lang, di ba? The instructions that are given to them has certain commonality with other ancient laws, but it's distinct in such a way that it shows the character of God, the one true God, the one who's the only one who can save. Sabing ganun ng talata, if your enemy, it's his donkey or ox, goes astray or struggles and to the point of dying, you should help that animal up. And sabi yan, you shall bring it back to him. Magkikita kayo. You see what the Bible is doing here. The point is this. In verse 4 to 5, we're talking about love for enemies. Basically, this is telling us, love your neighbor. Kaaway mo man yan o hindi. But, bakit? We heard from Proverbs 25, the wisdom that God would reward you. Let's listen to Jesus Christ as He speaks on this truth. Let's look at Luke 6. Starting from verse 27. This is Jesus speaking here. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Diba? This is amplification. This is Jesus Himself sharing with us, or perhaps, if you will, preaching Exodus 20:16 and Exodus 23:4-5. I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you. This is counterintuitive. Diba? This is against the flow. Pray for those who abuse you. The one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you. And from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. Why? If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? That's natural. That is normal. We love the lovable. We love those, we do good to those whom we love. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? We do good to those who are good to us. That's normal. That's natural. For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies. And do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. At the point, verse 36. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. We would see and hear that theme in Exodus 23. Why should we do this? Why should we love our neighbors? Why should we love even our enemies? Because we should reflect the one who we profess to be believing and serving, and He is merciful. Therefore, we should be merciful as our Father in heaven is merciful. Verse 6, you shall not pervert the justice due to your poor in his lawsuit. Keep far from a false charge and do not kill the innocent and righteous, for I will not acquit the wicked. And you shall not take no bribe, for a bribe blinds the clear-sighted and subverts or twists or perverts the cause of those who are in the right. Napansin ninyo? I did that on purpose. But I want you to see, look at your Bibles. There seems to be a structure here. Verse 1 to 3 and 6 to 8 seems to be saying the same thing. Tama? These laws expanded the ninth commandment. They spoke against following the crowd if that meant you had to pervert justice. Now, notice verse 3 and 6 cover both temptation, both spectrum of temptation. To side with the rich or to side with the poor. Diba? The tendency nowadays, we make laws pro-poor. Diba? Ganun ginagawa ng karamihan. In fact, correct me if I'm wrong, socialism and communism is that way. You side with the poor. And in the other spectrum, most people side with the rich. Verse 3 and verse 6 is telling us don't do both. If you want to side with if you want to embrace a side, side with the what is right. Diba? Verse 3, do not be partial to the poor in a lawsuit. Verse 6, do not pervert justice against the poor in a lawsuit. Diba? You see, this is beautiful. This is God, the one who is just, giving his people how to govern themselves as for them to be just. So 3 is a commandment to not be partial to the poor. Verse 6 is to not pervert justice against the poor. Verse 7 to 8 tells us why. God expects justice, not partiality, and forbade taking bribes. And I see, sabi ko kayo, di ba, may structure to. Did you see that middle section sandwiched between 1 to 3 and 6 to 9 or 6 to 8? 1 to 3, do not bear false witness. 6 to 8 or 6 to 9, do not bear false witness. And in 4 to 5 is where we see the heart as to how to do that. To be loving to your neighbors, even your enemies. Galing, di ba? Ang galing. Now, let's go back to verse 4 to 5. Why is there a intentional focus on the animal? Diba? Sabi natin, when we were looking at the ninth commandment, it's talking about to preserve the person and to preserve the property. In a context wherein we see the chosen nation, where were they at this point? They were at the foot of the mountain, Mount Sinai. Tama? And they're about to go to Canaan. During those days, how do we measure wealth? Paano binimeasure ang wealth? Land and herds. May land na ba sila? Wala pa. They are about to travel. So, anong pinoproteksyonan? An aspect of their property, which is herd. And I see genius of Scripture here. Ang galing ng Panginoong Diyos. Now we go to verse 9. You shall not oppress a sojourner. You know the heart of a sojourner. For you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. Parang may familiar, di ba? Is it familiar to you? Di ba sabing ganun ng Panginoon Diyos? Treat your slaves right. Why? You were slaves before in Egypt. Now, he's saying, you shall not oppress a sojourner. Why? You know the heart of a sojourner. You are sojourners yourselves. You see how God is dealing with his people? How God is like a loving father, giving instructions and talking to them, giving them wisdom. Why should you do this? Because you were once like this. Why should you be caring and kind to your slaves? Because you were once slaves. Why should you not oppress the sojourner? Because you are a sojourner. Hindi kayo taga rito. You will be going to the promised land. And again, if we would skip this, we would miss out. dun sa character na pinapakita ng Panginoon Diyos dito. Verse 10, "For 6 years you shall sow your land and gather in its field. But the 7th year you shall let it rest and lie fallow." Fallow means uncultivated, right? Wala kang gagawin. Iwanan nyo lang yan. So, why? So that the poor of your people may eat. And what they leave, the beasts of the field may eat. Napansin nyo yung care dito ng Panginoon Diyos? This is Jesus. Yes, Jesus here. This is God's social welfare program. 6 years, you shall sow. Magsaka kayo. But on the 7th year, this is the Sabbath year, wala kayong gagalawin. What is that for? So that the poor among you may be able to have something to eat. And the rest would be left to the beast of the field. Again, this is not at all saying that during the time wherein they are cultivating the land, wala silang gagawin. Diba? Meron tayong rules on, ba? Remember Ruth? Diba? Pag nagagapa sila, iwanan nyo yung nalaglag. It's for the poor. It's for the helpless. It's for the foreigners. Right? But here we see, God has expressed explicitly a certain year. Of course, it's a requirement for you. Diba? For the slaves, you let him or her work for 6 years. On the 7th day, it would be a Sabbath year for them. They should be set free. Same with the land, right? "You shall do likewise with your vineyard and with your olive orchard." Let me ask you, I know our people who are watching in the live stream cannot answer us. What's odd here? Ano yung odd dito? "For 6 years you shall sow your land. Tapos, you shall do likewise with your vineyard and with your olive orchard." What's odd here? And beautifully odd, if I may add. Wala silang orchard ba? They don't have a vineyard yet. Diba? They are going to travel from the foot of the mountain to the promised land. But here we see God's faithfulness. Yes? It's as if God is saying, "This is my instructions for you. As when you get to that land, you don't have this yet. You don't have a vineyard yet. You don't have an olive orchard yet, but you will. You will someday. That's why I'm giving you instructions already." What do we see here? Certainty of God's promise. The place that you would go to is a land flowing with milk and honey. It would be mayaman. It would be fertile. Right? Verse 12, "6 days you shall do your work, but on the 7th day you shall rest." 6 years, 6 days. Same principle. "But on the 7th day you shall rest, that so that your ox and your donkey may have rest, and the son of your servant woman and the alien may be refreshed." What are we seeing here? Is it just talking about the Sabbath? Yes, it is. But what principle can we see here? Una, nakit natin, before we were talking about Sabbath pertaining to weeks. Now we're looking at Sabbath pertaining to years. Right? We know that this was required of the covenant people. Tama? This is a command to the people of the covenant. But what we see here is this. Don't miss this. Even though the Sabbath is a requirement for the covenant people, it's also a blessing to the non-covenant people. Pansin nyo? Even the slaves, servants, alien, you see, common grace. Yes, it's a requirement for the people of the covenant to follow this. As they embrace the lordship of God as the sovereign ruler of the land, nakita natin as they do so, as they obey this commandment, we see other people will benefit as well. Now, sabing ganun, walang gagalaw sa kanila, yung land na yan, and people would say, how would that happen? But we know, di ba? There are other agents of production. Of course, God is there. Of course, God is the one who grows the seed, di ba? Multiplies it. But we know that the birds are agents, right? When animals eat, they can leave seeds behind, right? So, wow. And this is going back to the commandment before, to observe the Sabbath. We'll leave it there muna. Kasi gusto ko makita niyo yung may structure eh. 13. Pay attention to all that I have said to you, and make no mention of the names of other gods, nor let it be heard on your lips. Going back to the first four commandments. Walang ibang Diyos. Walang idols. Do not make for yourselves graven images. I am the only one. This time around, we see, nor let it be heard on your lips. Wag niyong banggitin. Verse 14 to 17, we see the institution of the three festivals. We're looking sa basag, sa ating Sunday studies, we are looking at the Songs of Ascent. Diba? These songs are what they sing when they go up to the temple for what? For the three major festivals. Here is what we have here. Three times in a year, you shall keep a feast to me. You shall keep the feast of unleavened bread. Other name for unleavened bread? Passover. As I commanded you, you shall eat unleavened bread for 7 days at the appointed time in the month of Abib. Abib, April. For in it you came out of Egypt. None shall appear before me. None shall appear before me. Okay? Empty-handed. We know that when they go to the temple to worship, dapat meron silang dalang sacrifice. You shall keep the Feast of Harvest. Keep of Feast of Harvest, Pentecost. Or you shall keep the Feast of Harvest of the first fruits of your labor, of what you sow in the field. You shall keep the Feast of Ingathering, Feast of Tabernacles, or Feast of the Booths. At the end of the year, when you gather in from the field the fruit of your labor, three times in a year shall all your males appear. Ina-underlinean ko yan. Before the Lord. Bakit ko in-underline yan? Here are instructions with regards to the three major festivals. Here is where we get a requirement for all the Jews to go there. Kung saan sila neighboring countries or saan silang province, they need to go three times a year to the temple to worship, to give thanks to God, to praise Him. Appear, none shall appear before me. Three times in a year, all your males, okay? Other translations say men, males, meaning yung basi Jesus Christ was 12 years old when they went to the temple. Appear before the Lord God. Again, why did I underline? Why do you think I underlined appear? When we go a few chapters forward, we would hear, actually chapter 24, we would hear God saying to Moses, come up here. God meeting Moses. A few chapters on, we would see and hear the institution of the tabernacle. You see, God wants to meet His people. And the most exciting thing here is this. We are, as we are reading this, as we are in chapter 23, we are looking forward to the tabernacle where God will meet His people. Because God wants to always meet. God desires to be with His people. God desires to fellowship with His people. God wants His people to be worshiping Him. That's why we hear, appear, and we know that in the chapters before, even in the next books, we would hear instructions for the tabernacle. Verse 18, you shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice with anything leavened, or let the fat. Yung word na fat, minsan isip natin yung taba ng diba, the fat of my feast. remain until the morning. If we think about fat as yung taba, then that's gross. What does that mean? But Psalm 63, my soul will be satisfied as of the richest of food, as of fatness and marrow. This is talking about the best part. Sabing ganun, you shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice with anything leavened. Or, when you sacrifice the best part to me, do not leave them outside and then for that to decay. That would be detestable to my sight. I've given you the best part and then you would leave it outside. Verse 19, the best of the first fruits of your ground you shall bring into the house of the Lord, your God, Yahweh, your God. Talking about how they should be worshiping God. You shall not boil a young goat in its mother's milk. Di tayo matatapos. Anong ibig sabihin yun? Is God preventing them from a certain culinary dish? Bawal ba yung ginataang young goat? Ba, wag mong pakuluan ang batang goat sa gatas ng nanay niya. Ang naisip ko agad, parang ginataan to ha. So what is the significance of the command? Is God preventing them from doing that because having ginatan o ginataang young goat is blasphemous? This is pointing to pagan practice. This is a warning to be cautious about pagan and idolatrous practice. Nung panahon nila, isa ito sa mga ginagawa ng mga pagano to worship God. And when do they do that? When is the tendency to embrace idolatry great? And this is where I found myself, wow, ang ganda ng structure. Again, kailan malakas ang ating tendency to worship idols, to worship not God, but worship other gods? When? In our context, when do people go elsewhere to anyone whom they think would help them? When they desire prosperity and when they desire fertility. Look at the structure again of this beautiful section. Sabing ganun dito, 6 years, verse 10, you shall sow your land and gather in its yields. Diba? Tapos, for 7th year, wala kang gagawin. Right? So what would they do? Where will they get the food? This is, the 7th year is a year for them to trust the Lord. Pay attention to what instruction comes next. Pay attention, verse 13, to all that I have said to you. Make no mention of the names of other gods, no, nor let it be heard on your lips. We see the tendency here is that when I don't see, I'm not working, and I'm just trusting the Lord, and I'm leaving the field on its own for the poor to benefit from it, for the beast to benefit from it, saan nakukuha ng pagkain ko? You need to trust God. Trusting God to provide for you. Of course, we know that God would provide, diba? Remember the manna from heaven? The 6th day, mas marami. But you need to see, dear ones, I believe that this is placed here by design as to not allow or as to give warning to the covenant people to not call on other gods for provision. And when you look at verse 19, you shall not boil a young goat in its mother's milk. An immediate context before. First fruits. Fertility. In our context, the Filipino context, where do people go to when they want to have kids? Sasayaw sa ubando. Right? So, this is beautiful. God desires His people to trust Him. And may I add, with regards to the structure, verse 1, 2, 3, we see this is pertaining to God. Right? Oh, I mean, verse 10 to 12, this is pertaining to laws, instructions about what we ought to do towards God. Verse 13, pay attention towards idols. Verse 14 to 17, feasts unto God. Verse 19, the last portion, warning towards the tendency to go to idols. We see grace here. We see grace here. And as we end, yeah, mabilis lang tayo ngayon. 19 verse lang. As we end our study tonight, we heard of commandments that has shocked us, di ba? We heard of instructions that may mean nothing to us. We heard of instructions that, wow, amplified what is our convictions, what were our convictions. And that is the truth of these commandments. Some does not apply to us. Some are shocking. Some has inspired us and encouraged us to keep on trusting the Lord. But I want you to understand, again, sa pag-aaral ng Biblia, yes, we look at the context, the immediate context, historical, cultural background, but never miss the truth that God is revealing Himself. You see how sweet God is, how loving God is, to be giving these specific instructions to His people. Why? The same way that you give specific instructions to your kids. Huwag mong ilagay ang daliri mo sa electric fan. Di ba? Do not touch the stove while it's burning. Because this is a God who is caring, a God who is loving, and He is giving these special instructions to His people. And tayo nandito ngayon, na nagbabasa, we understand that we cannot all the time follow these instructions or the instructions given to us as a whole in the whole canonical law. We know of someone who did. We know of someone who fulfilled and obeyed the law to the dot. And that is the one whom we worship. And that is the one whom we serve. And praise the Lord that this God whom we serve is so sweet and loving. I pray na sana as we go back to our respective homes, we would look at Scripture in a different light. These are instructions coming from a loving God who doesn't want us to get hurt, who wants us to embrace Him. And His rules at times doesn't make sense, but we ought to be embracing them just the same. Why? Because He knows better. He knows better. Right? And next week, we'll be looking at verse 20 onwards. Right? Shall we pray? Let's pray. Lord, we thank You. We praise You for teaching us tonight. We are humbled, Lord, by the tender, sweet instructions You have given to Your people. And as Your church, we look back to our own lives, Lord, and look at the Bible as a whole, the Old and the New Covenant, the Old and New Testament, Lord. And we understand now that these commandments, Lord, are not burdensome. We would only see that these instructions are for our good and for Your ultimate glory. We pray that as we go back to our respective homes, You would give us traveling mercies, You would keep us all safe. At sana po, Panginoong Diyos, ang desire ng puso namin ay masumpungan Niyo kaming lahat. Minamahal Ka, tinatangi Iyong salita. We pray that this indeed would be true to each one of us. We love you and we love your word. Thank you, Lord, for tonight. We bless you. We love you. We worship you. In the most precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you very much. God bless you all, and we're now dismissed.